what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, whenever you see a crowd of people gathered and they're all looking up and pointing, or they're looking across the street and pointing, or they're looking down at something and pointing, I guarantee you've never rushed over to that group and said, hey, what are you guys so excited about? What are you looking at? And someone said, that incredible foundation. No, that's not what people get excited about. They get excited about what happens next, what happens after the foundation. And the same is so often true with marriage. It's that hobby. It's having some babies. It's that amazing vacation, that dream trip. That thing they've worked on and hoped for and saved money for, everything is focused on beyond the foundation. But we're tapping the brakes, and I might be even backing it up for some of you saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Have you considered whether or not you even have the right foundation for your marriage? You're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney. And we're talking about how to take your marriage from barely alive or just how to survive to how to thrive. And that means you'll need the right biblical foundation. In our last show, we covered two pieces of the right foundation, an authority bigger than your own, that it's not what I think, what I saw growing up, what my dad did, what my mom did, or what the culture is right now harping on. It's God's word and God's son. What does the Bible say? And what do I see when I look to Jesus? That's what I want to do. I want to submit to an authority that's bigger than my own thoughts, God's word. And number two, you'll need a purpose that's bigger than your own wish list, dream, or agenda that you brought into that marriage saying, oh, I've got to have this. This has to happen. But now today, I want to push and give you some more. I want to give you some more. As I do, let me read a quote from Rob Bell. Rob Bell, who I would certainly take issue with on so many theological points, actually gets it right on this one. When he says this about marriage, quote, this marriage between a man and woman is about something much bigger than the relationship itself. I hope you've been hearing that throughout the show already. It's about something bigger than the marriage itself. He says it points beyond them to somebody else, to God. The point of marriage isn't marriage. It's a picture, a display, a window that you look through to something else. A marriage has a mission. Too often the problem is that each person in that marriage has a mission and it has nothing to do with God's mission. A marriage is designed not to add to the brokenness of the world, but to add to the oneness of the world. This man and this woman who have given themselves to each other are supposed to give the world a glimpse of hope, a display of what God is like, a bit of oneness on earth. Now, I hope that doesn't put you off, and I hope it doesn't overwhelm you. We'll never be perfect, no doubt. People are going to see the flaws, but do you realize when it's real, when you've got a hold of something bigger and God is actually doing something bigger and better than what either one of you came into this marriage wanting, people do notice. People do notice. One of my favorite testimonies that I've ever heard, and to God be the glory, I'm only going to tell you this because it's what God has done in our marriage, because we have plenty of sin, plenty of faults, plenty of conflict, and absolute chaos and confusion in the first 2 to 3 years of our marriage. So I want you to know that before I tell you this story. But oh, how I praise God when I heard it. We've lived on the same street for 28 years. 28 years we lived in the same split-level home raising 5 kids. So everybody in the neighborhood knew us. They'd seen the ropes and the pulleys and the tree out front with the little treehouse the kids had. They seen the big conversion van because we were a family of seven going places. Vicky and I used to walk around the block. It was about a mile all the way around the block. So people knew who we were, but it's a long street. Rarely did we go way down to the end where it dead ended in a cul-de-sac. But there was this guy that we would see him go by in his Bronco, and he didn't wave, we didn't wave, but we knew of him. Well, in the providence of God and the mercy of God, that man began to attend one of our campuses. And that man got saved in his late 60s, got saved by the grace of God. And so he began to attend our Bible study that met on our home each week. It made sense because he's right there on our street. And one night he said this. He said, all these years, he said, for 26 years, I've been seeing you guys in the neighborhood. And I would watch you as you walked by. He's talking about, he doesn't even hear what we're saying. No audio, just how we were relating and what we looked like. And he said, for 26 years, as I've watched you walking around the neighborhood, I would say to myself, they look like they love each other. They look like they love each other. Wow, that's what we're talking about. Not perfection, you guys, but what would it look like for someone to catch sight of your marriage and think, I think it's really, really alive and it's thriving. It's not just barely alive. They're not just trying to survive. They look like they love each other. That's what we're talking about. You want a marriage to catch someone's eye and for them to think it looks like they love each other, you'll need the right foundation. So let me give you a third piece. Number three, you'll need to accept what you have instead of focusing on what you wish you had. Oh, listen, part of the foundation that needs to be in place. We all have a measure of, woo, confusion and what that sets in early in marriage. Doesn't matter how hard you worked with personality tests and doing this, that, or the other before you got married, it is a shock at some point to realize who it is that you've actually married because you never lived with them at close range like this. And so, oh, part of this foundation you've got to have in place is to get over, oh, I married the wrong person. Oh, here's who I wish I had. Here, oh, and accept what you have instead of focusing on what you wish you had. Oh, let me tell you one of the things that I've had happen so often in counseling. Very often I'll have back-to-back counseling. So 1 hour I'm meeting with a couple and the very next hour I'm meeting with a different couple. I cannot tell you how often it's been said. Usually it was said by a woman. I'm not saying they're the only ones that think this way, but that's who says it out loud. In our session, she would say, I just wish I had a husband like. And she will name another man in our church. Guess what? I have to keep a straight face because I am meeting with that other couple, that husband she just named and his wife. And I have to keep a straight face because I am thinking to myself, oh, girl, oh, you do not want Bob. Oh, no. Bob's mess is way worse than the mess of your husband. Stay with the one you have. What I'm saying is, you guys, you don't know. You do not know what is going on in other people's marriages. Accept what you have, who you have, who God gave you, who you said, I do to. Accept it and then say, God, let's begin to work. There was a young wife that sent me an email describing her disillusionment. It happens quickly. I know personally. After only 4 months of marriage, she was already struggling and couldn't put her finger on the real issue. Until she says she humbled herself and cried out to God for help. And she said God showed her what the big issue was, and it wasn't her husband. She says this, and I have her permission to share it. She says, Pastor Brad, my husband and I have been struggling a lot in our marriage for the past 2 months, and I'd felt myself becoming disengaged, depressed, resentful, and most troubling of all, separated from God. I realized that when I was struggling in my marriage, my relationship with Christ was struggling at the same time, and it made me angry with my husband that the way he was relating to me, quote, was making me feel distant from God. Finally, I got down on my knees, something I had not done in a long time, and just prayed for guidance or to feel less lost because I was beginning to blame everything on my husband as I was clueless on anything that I could do to fix our marriage. I knew there had to be something I should change, but I did not know what it could be. As you were talking on Sunday, I realized that I needed to surrender to the marriage I had and not to the marriage I so desperately wanted. I had to let that idea of a, quote, perfect marriage go. I realized that I had to be broken down to this point for God to make a breakthrough in my heart. I was allowing my marriage and thoughts of my relationship with my husband to be my main focus. I was idolizing it. Honestly, I wanted my marriage to be better so I could glorify God. And I thought, isn't that a good thing to want? What I didn't realize, I was wanting a God-glorifying marriage so badly that I was neglecting my most important relationship, my relationship with God. He opened my eyes to see that I was being incredibly selfish and putting a roadblock in our marriage. Once I realized that, our marriage has done a 180. I'm finally feeling close to the Lord again, and I'm so much more aware of my actions and understanding of my husband's. I'm convinced that this heart change in me had to occur for our marriage to be successful. It was urgent that I get my relationship with God back on track. Did you hear it? She said it was urgent that I get my relationship with God back on track. Oh, we're talking about how your marriage could do more than survive, how it could thrive, and it will not thrive without the right foundation in place. We're going to talk about it some more when we come back from our break.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad in just a moment. And as he's talking in this episode, I'm thinking, and I thought the same way before I was married. Everybody wants this picture perfect, Pinterest perfect, I guess that's the right term to use these days, Pinterest perfect marriage, but nobody's really getting excited about the foundation work. That's exactly why we have created Drive By Marriage. That's a resource that I really want to recommend to you. It's available now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Drive By Marriage, it's an audio series with Todd Friel and Rick Thomas, and they get into the nitty gritty of exactly what Pastor Brad's talking about today. How to stop playing the My Kingdom Come game and actually start building something that lasts. Drive By Marriage, available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And while we're talking about building stuff that lasts, have you seen Gary Varvel's latest cartoon on our Fortis Plus app? If you've not downloaded the app yet, I want to really encourage you to do that. You can do it at fortisplus.org, fortisinstitute.org as well. But Gary Varvel, somehow this guy manages to capture exactly what we're all thinking regarding our current culture or even marriage. And he's really, really funny. And again, the best part, it's completely free on the Fortis Plus app. 7 new posts that we post every single day, including my news that actually matters to Christians as you try to navigate this upside down world that we're currently living in. But here's what really has me excited and fired up. We're not just putting out content for the sake of putting out content. We have transformed into Fortis Institute because honestly, we did recognize that we needed more than just one perspective around here. But here's the deal. We cannot do any of this alone. And so would you consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can get all of the details right now at fortisinstitute.org. Your support helps us continue to build resources like Drive By Marriage, like Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, and all of our other resources and productions. You can get all of the answers to all of the questions that you likely have about what it would look like in your life to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney as he continues to show us how to build a marriage that doesn't just look good on Instagram, but actually has a foundation that is solidly built on Christ. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and we are talking about the right foundation for a marriage to thrive. And I know that doesn't sound sexy, doesn't sound exciting, isn't what we normally give much thought to, but oh, listen to me. Some of you who are struggling in your marriage, it could be that you've never considered if you're even building on the right foundation. So we've talked about you've got to have an authority bigger than your own. You've got to have a purpose bigger than your own wish list. And then number three, we were saying you've got to accept the marriage you have instead of focusing so much on what you wish you had, think you need, think you deserve, accepting the marriage. Now, don't hear me saying you don't want to grow. Don't hear me saying it can't get better. Don't hear me saying it's wrong to pray and say, God, help us get beyond this. But it begins with accepting the marriage you have and keeping your priorities in place. As I closed out before the break, I read you an email from a young wife who said, she closed out her email saying, it was urgent that I get my relationship with God back on track. Oh, let me tell you something. Marriage was never designed to take the place of an intimate relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. It was designed to be an imperfect, sinful reflection of it. Oh yes, marriage was designed to be a billboard of Christ and His love for the church. But it was never designed to take the place of your relationship with Christ. Ooh, keep that first. Number one, that you love Christ. You know Christ. You're spending time with Christ. You are intimate with your Savior. And from that intimacy and satisfaction and security and acceptance, you are then able to give and work on a less than perfect marriage, living with a less than perfect spouse. Dave Harvey says in one of my favorite marriage books, if you're looking for a short, little marriage book that is actually packs a powerful punch, get a hold of this. Dave Harvey's book, When Sinners Say I Do. I love it. Listen to what Dave says. Quote, when we begin to orient our marriages around biblical truth, we see something amazing. Marriage was not just invented by God, it belongs to God. He has a unique claim over its design, purpose, and goals. That's right. Marriage is not first about me or my spouse. God is the most important person in a marriage. Marriage is for our good, but it is first for God's glory. This may seem odd, surprising, or difficult to accept, but it's a vital truth for every Christian married couple. Marriage is not first about you. It's about something bigger and something better, our relationship with Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, do you know how to submit? And I'm using that word both to men and women. If you're a man listening, I'm talking to you also. Do you know how to submit to an authority that's bigger than your own? And does your marriage have a purpose that's bigger than your own dreams and wish list? If not, that may be the thing that's killing you and keeping you from making progress together. And number three, have you even accepted your spouse? Have you truly accepted the marriage that you do have instead of chafing constantly for what you wish you had? And oh, listen, I'm as guilty as anybody. I can relate. In the early years of our marriage, you know what I did? I ran out and I bought a book titled The Incompatible Couple. I was so frustrated. I was so convinced that I'd married the wrong person. And I was so focused on trying to change her. And I was not focused on loving her or saying, God, what do you want to show me about me? And it made for a terrible, terrible marriage. Let me give you a fourth piece, foundation that has to be in place. Number four, you will need a supernatural power that dwarfs your best intentions and efforts. And God's given it to us. It's called the gospel and His Spirit living in you. Now, maybe right about now, you might be thinking, Brad, I thought this was a marriage show about Thrive. And so far, all you've done is talk about the authority of the Bible, the glory of God, and now the power of the gospel and His Spirit. Exactly when are we going to talk more about marriage? Well, I hope you've been listening carefully enough to realize I am trying to help you understand how that authority relates to your marriage, how the glory of God relates to your marriage. And now I want to show you and get you to think about how the power of the gospel and his spirit living in you absolutely relates to your marriage. Because here's what I want you to understand. Your vertical relationship with God significantly impacts your horizontal relationship with each other. Because being satisfied in God can help you let up on each other. Your vertical relationship with God is impacting, feeding, fueling, shaping your horizontal relationship with other people, starting with those closest to you, your spouse. These two things go together. C.S. Lewis, I love this quote, said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." Yes, you were. And so because of that, no earthly marriage will ever fully satisfy. It can get better. In fact, it can become great. And yes, it can thrive, but there will always be a measure of, it's still not everything that I hoped for. It's still not doing everything I wish. Guess what? It was never designed to do everything for you. It was never designed to fully satisfy. You say, "Well, Brad, what am I supposed to do then?" So glad you asked. Every husband and every wife has to be tapping into a superior satisfaction and power outside of that marriage. Because without a superior satisfaction in God, a husband can't love and lead and lay down his life sacrificially like Christ did year after year after year after year for a less than perfect sinful wife. And a wife, cannot submit and respect a husband that she sees the flaws and she sees the failures if she does not have a superior satisfaction and she's not tapping into a power outside of that marriage. In other words, the power and motivation. You might be thinking, how do I keep going, Brad? How do I keep going in this marriage? I'm losing heart. I'm tempted to want to quit, hit the exit door. The power and motivation to keep loving and sacrificing year after year for a less than perfect husband or wife has to come from being so satisfied in someone outside of that marriage. So I hope you're hearing. These two things are closely related. Sometimes people want to say to me, I have a fantastic, intimate, white, hot, vibrant relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus. I just hate my wife, or I just hate my husband. Well, I can't see your heart, but I doubt that. These two things play off of each other and impact each other hugely. How you are doing with your Lord dictates in huge ways how you will do with your spouse. And it pushes back up the line in the same way. As you're not doing well with your spouse, it will impact your relationship with your Savior. In fact, there's a verse for husbands in 1 Peter 3 that says, if you do not live with your wife and you're in an understanding way, your prayers will just bounce off the ceiling. In other words, God is not okay with you saying, Yeah, I got a terrible relationship with my wife. Maybe I'll work on that one day, someday, but it's not a top priority. God's like, make it a top priority because it is hindering your prayers, my friend. These two things are hugely related. So I want to remind you, some of you might be discouraged where you are in your marriage now. I can relate. I've been there. So I want to remind you that change, listen to me, change is possible. Change in that marriage is possible because Jesus lived and died and rose again to conquer sin and to free us to live in the power of another and for the glory of another. You try to live for yourself in that marriage and it'll kill it. It'll destroy it. Earlier in the show, I reminded you, we do not have what it takes to make a marriage thrive. We do bring everything necessary to kill one. Every single one of us as sinners brings everything necessary to kill a marriage. Everything that we need to make one thrive, we have to find outside of us by the grace of God, His Word. direct access to his throne. Oh, we're talking about how a marriage would thrive. And we touched on foundations. You'll have to have an authority bigger than your own, a dream, a purpose that's bigger than your own dream. You'll need to accept the marriage you do have instead of wishing for what you don't have. And then you'll need to tap into a superior power. It's called the gospel and the Holy Spirit. He's given us what we need to see our marriages thrive.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.